This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna. Focused reporting, sharp analysis, and the local stories shaping our lives. Daily updates in a fast-paced world.
Our first guest on today's show, we are joined on the line by Sibusiso Mboto. Good afternoon, Sibusiso. How are you?
Good afternoon, Dylan. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Sibusiso. Lovely to be chatting to you. Sibusiso is from the advocacy, is the advocacy coordinator at the Peter Marisburg Economic and Justice Dignity Group. Now, Sibusiso, we're going to be speaking a little bit about the recent petrol drop, the drop in the petrol petrol price. Now, should we be excited? Yes. Is this temporary relief, or can we expect some more good news in the future?
So, from a motorist perspective,
yes,
it is good news because it certainly means that you are able to basically see an immediate savings in your pocket. However, for a commuter, it doesn't really make any difference because when the oil prices went up,
yes,
at around March, April, what then happened was that taxi fares were adjusted in line with those pressures.
Got you.
And once taxi fares go up,
they don't go back down.
They do not go down.
Interesting.
Regardless of how, even if the oil price was to plummet to two rands, there wouldn't be any change to a taxi fare. That's the nature of their business. And the fact of the matter is, we have more commuters versus motorists.
Absolutely.
And our findings this month of June, for instance, indicates that the transport costs now constitute about 39%. They eat about 39%. Of income for people who are in, wow, at the minimum wage level.
That is
so
insane.
That's a very significant. It is indeed. What it means is that all of a sudden, one sees their income being chopped into half, just going to transport, sure, water and electricity. Yes.
So, you know, it's so interesting.
So,
carry on.
Yeah. So, Our position has always been that, I remember when I was speaking to one journalist last month or 2 months ago, I was saying that we need to be cautiously optimistic when we hear the news, right, that some kind of agreement has been brokered and may yield positive results very soon. And they said, look, until that breakthrough has been made, until there's a signature from the warring parties committing,
right,
to everlasting peace, we can't really rejoice fully.
Sure.
And sure, true to form, what has happened was, despite the agreement initially, or the framework rather, what we've seen now is a somewhat resumption of hostilities again between the US and Iran, and that's going to find expression in oil price going up.
So, I'm fascinated not only as a radio presenter but also as a South African by what you've been sharing with us. So, I wanted to ask you, it was fascinating what you said about once the price has gone up for transport, it's very, very unlikely that it's going to go down. But I wonder, does the same apply for food? Because when petrol price goes up and it has a knock-on effect on food prices, are we expecting to see any sort of drop in food prices because there has been a bit of a drop in the petrol?
It's always an interesting equation in,
yeah,
that some of the food prices are going to be affected. It's the timing thereof. So, if, for instance, the oil prices go up again, does it mean that the food prices are going to go up? So, it's a behavior significant, similar to that of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. One moment, everything goes up. Next moment, it goes down. So we are expecting, not that it's going to happen, we would expect that food prices would go down from the, as of July, for instance. We expect that food prices should go down owing to this, the current petrol price, diesel price that has gone down. But there's always this argument that that movement of goods is also influenced by immediate issues, midterm as well as long-term vision. And so the question is, do you just adjust swiftly, only to find that next month the oil price has gone up and then food prices go up? So it really is one of those issues that are never easy to determine.
So I want to ask you if you can give us, as, and I'm speaking to you now as a South African, not as only as a radio presenter, but can you give us some advice as to how to, you know, manage this cost of living crisis? Is there anything practically that we can be doing to be saving better, to be, you know, working around these current conditions so that we have, you know, more bang for the buck at the end of the month?
The unfortunate thing is that in as much as one would be saying to South Africans, try and effect some savings. So point number one, what happened with COVID was that it taught us that you can work from home. Sure. So for those people who can work from home, it's an advantage. They can save on transport costs. Those with cars can also save on petrol costs. However, if you are in manual labor, you can't work from the office, unfortunately. No. If you are a food packer, you can't work from home. If you work in a shoe manufacturing company, you can't work from home. So those labor intensive kind of jobs demand that you use your taxi fare. And in most cases, what happens is taxi fares, for people to get to work, firstly, they move from their homes to the cities. And then from cities, they then get to work, which means that going to work is two trips. And then coming back from work again is two trips. So it's four trips, so really, combined, yeah, per day.
It adds up.
And such a person, even as much as they would want to save, they're just cornered. The incomes remain low. They're not on par with inflation. So it really is a difficult one.
Employers do need to be, you know, be aware of these scenarios and to make sure that you try and make provisions for that. And just lastly, I don't know. It's always hard to make predictions, but any other potential cuts in the next few months?
It really all depends on what happens in the Middle East, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
The sooner that deal is struck, the better, because it would certainly mean that there is a movement of goods and services in that strait, and the oil prices all of a sudden stabilize. And the movement of goods and services from the point of production to the point of consumption are stabilized, which would then mean that as we are talking now in July, we would start seeing the effects thereof at around September. Again, provided the deal is struck and people and the nations actually stick to the rules of engagement.
Always fascinates me how we are a global community and how certain events and actions in other places in the world have a huge impact on us here and down in Mzanzi and across Africa. Fascinating conversation. Really, really insightful. Sipho Sisulu, wonderful speaking to you. I look forward to speaking to you more in the future. Hopefully, Baldwin is to do with cuts, not with increases. But Wonderful chatting to you, and thank you so much for your time. That was Sibusiso Mboto, who is the advocacy coordinator at the Peter Maritzburg Economic and Justice Dignity Group. Thank you very much for your time, and we hope to speak to you again soon.